Let's open our Bibles this morning to John 11 as we begin this new series, Love Covers. And while you're turning to John 11, I want to preface this morning's series with this. You know, children long to be around Jesus. So did thieves, so did sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, outcasts, and those despised by the religious self-righteous. Jesus loved to be around them. See, God's love within him drew people to him. The greatest witness of Christianity is love. That's the greatest witness of Christianity, is love. When we reflect the love of God in this world, that's the greatest witness. You know, I could preach from now to eternity, but if I haven't got love, what does it mean? You know, I could have faith that moves mountains. We'll talk about this in the coming weeks. But love is the primary expression. It's the greatest witness of Christianity in this world. So we need to understand what love is. So while you're in John 11, just hold your place here for a moment. There are two primary Greek words that are translated love or charity in the New Testament, particularly the King James Bible, love or charity. So from this morning on, if I'm reading a verse in out of the King James and it says charity, I'm going to say love, to make clarity of what it's saying, because love and charity are the same in terms of their translation. But there are two primary Greek words in the New Testament. One's agape. Some call it agape, but it's agape. And the other is agapeo. And they're the same. So those two words are synonymous. They mean the same thing, but they're slightly different depending on where you're reading them in the Bible. So you've got agape. The other word in the Bible is phileo. So you've got agape and phileo. The difference between those two words is this. Agape is to love, which means it's the God kind of love. In 1 John 4, the Bible says that God is agape. So we know what that means. It's the God kind of love. God is agape. God is love. So that's the love that we're going to be talking about primarily in this series, the love of God, which is in Greek, agape. The other Greek word, which is phileo, is to be a friend or to have affection for or brotherly love. So there are very different words in Scripture that express love. So if you now go to John 11, and I want to read from verse 1, I want to show you a quick example of that. Verse 1 of John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Phileo. Brotherly love. Affection. Phileo. Keep reading. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, agape. Two words love, two different meanings. That second one, Jesus loved Mary, Martha and Lazarus, agape. I want to show you another example of that. Go to John 21, very quickly. This is why it's good to study Scripture and really understand what some of the meanings of the words are. I want to read from verse 15. I just want to show you another example of this. Verse 15 of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, Lord, you know I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs, agape. Second, verse 16. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep, agape. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, love me, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The third one was phileo. The first two, agape. Do you love me with the God kind of love? And then the third one was, do you love me, phileo love? Do you love me with affection as a brother? So, you know, interesting how it was Peter that denied Jesus how many times? Three times. He says, do you love me? And what I get most out of those few verses is what Jesus commanded Peter to do. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. So for me as a pastor and a preacher, the primary thing I've got to do for the kingdom of God is to feed God's people. Feed and lead. Lead and feed. So that's important. Now, so that's just laying a bit of a foundation for this morning, what love means in terms of the meanings. Let's now go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And this is a verse that's given us this morning's title, 1 Peter and chapter 4 and verse 8. And for the sake of time, you can read the beginning of 1 Peter 4 for yourself. And, you know, it's about living for God, Christian behaviour, and under suffering, because Christians suffer for the sake of the gospel. And Paul's talking about this. He says, we don't want to be like, you know, the old ways that we used to live. You know, we've got to be different. And, you know, there's a suffering for the word. There's a suffering. But I want to get to verse 8. I want to go straight to it. And Peter says this. He says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitudes of sins. Love shall cover the multitudes of sins. And of course, that word fervent love means love without ceasing. And that word cover means to hide or to veil or to hinder the knowledge of something. Isn't that interesting? To hinder the knowledge of something. So you can see how love works. Love isn't going around telling everyone about someone else. So if that's the way we're operating, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Think again whether that's the God kind of love. Because love that covers hinders the knowledge of a thing. Hinders the knowledge. This is the way God is. And thank God that the word says that he will not remember our sins and iniquities anymore, will he? Your sins and your iniquities in Hebrews, I will remember no more. Covers. He chooses not to remember or have knowledge of a thing. So say it again. And above all, have fervent, that means that love without ceasing. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitudes of sins. Now go back one book to James, the last few verses in the last chapter of James. James chapter 5, reading from verse 16. And it says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. And it then goes to say this, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, why didn't it run theirs for 3 years and 6 months? Not because he was some super prophet. He was a man that had faith in God. This man prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. The power of prayer can't be underestimated. And it wasn't that he was so special, because it says, you know, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converts him, let him know that he which covers the sinner from the ever, sorry, he that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That word hide means to cover. It means to cover. And to err means to wander away from the truth, to go astray, or to roam. So there are occasions where God's people, they wander away from the truth. They wander away from the truth. They go astray or they roam. And that usually occurs when we get out of the Word. Because the moment you're out of the Word, you now are walking on a darkened path. There's no light on that path. And you don't want to be walking on a dark path. You want to be walking where the light of the Word is shining the way for us to go. So, but if that's happening, then it's a good thing to come alongside a brother or a sister and to bring them back into that place of fellowship with God. And it says that it'll cover a multitude of sins. It'll hide a multitude of sins. So it's a very, very powerful thing, this love covering. Now, let's go a little bit further. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. And this is just laying a foundation for this series today. Proverbs chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, the writer of Proverbs, he says this in verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Didn't say some. Love covers all sins. Love covers all sins. Now, you know, we might really think, oh yeah, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers sins. That's a very, very powerful verse. And there's so much in this, because hatred's a very, very dangerous thing. We're not to hate anyone. The only one we have a hate for is the devil and his cohort that are trying to destroy the things of the kingdom of God. We should hate all unrighteousness. We should hate sin, but we don't hate sinners. You need to love sinners. We can hate the sin and still love the sinner, still reach out to the sinner and not have a desire for the lifestyle of those that don't have a faith in God. But hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sin. Wow. Now that word strifes, it means discord or contention. And probably the better way to describe it is strife always connects to disagreement. Where there's disagreement, there's strife. Now, that's an important thing. So if you recognize there's some disagreement with others around you, in your family situation, in a church environment, disagreement is indicative of strife. And we don't want that, because the way this kingdom operates is through the power of agreement. We agree with God's word and we see the miraculous. Two people in agreement in prayer, you can see miraculous things. Think about God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, in the beginning, I mean, you don't need to turn there, but I just want to make this point. Right at the beginning in Genesis 1, you've got the word saying, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. They're in agreement. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit were all in agreement. They're operating in agreement. So you've got the Father and you've got the Spirit of God hovering. And of course, then the word spoken, let there be light. And there was light. So they were operating in agreement and they produced something out of darkness. They produced light, calling things to be not as though they are. He said, light be out of darkness, light was. And of course, again, you don't need to turn there, but if you were to just go a little bit further to verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us.
Harmony. There's agreement. They're not in disagreement. If God and the Spirit, the Father and the Spirit and the Word were in disagreement, they wouldn't produce anything.
So when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, you had agreement with the three-part nature of God. You had Jesus, the Word, who became flesh, and you had the Spirit of God that descended upon him like a dove. And then the Father in heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased. So there's a three-part nature of God operating simultaneously to produce an outcome. And of course, as we were saying on Thursday night in that study, that was a transfer of the priesthood. That the priesthood was now transferred to Jesus, who would be the priest in the order of Melchizedek. That's an eternal high priesthood. John the Baptist came from the line of Aaron, and there was a transfer. Jesus is now the eternal high priest. So there was agreement. The church has to be in agreement. Agreement is a powerful, powerful thing. So strife is disagreement. And of course, you don't need to turn there, but in James 3:16, we'll look at more of this in the coming weeks. But James warns that where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Well, hatred stirs up strife, does it not? But where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. So if there's strife in your home, there's an enemy footprint. If there's strife in the church, the enemy has a footprint or he has his hand in the door. And that's why we've got to be very, very cautious and we need to guard the anointing. We need to guard the grace of God and primarily the love of God. We want God's love to be the driving force for everything that we do as a body of believers because love covers. That's the nature of God. God is a merciful, loving, gracious God. Now, if the world knew that, they'd be in church wanting to hear about this wonderful, loving, merciful, gracious God. But to a large portion of the world, that's not how they see God. They see him as somebody that's about to pass judgment. Now, there is going to be a judgment at the end of the age. Amen? And everyone will stand. The righteous and the unrighteous. Thank God we've been judged righteous. But everyone's going to stand one day in judgment. But this is a beautiful opportunity, this dispensation of God's grace for people to seek him with all their heart and to receive the grace of God in their lives. And of course, have a look very quickly in 1 Corinthians. And Paul was writing to this church in Corinth that had similar issues that he had to deal with. I want to read from the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through to 3. Hallelujah. And he says this to the church. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ, which means they're worldly. I fed you with milk and not of meat, for hitherto, meaning for up to this day, you have not been able to bear it, neither yet are you able. So I've been giving you milk and not meat because you can't bear it. You're not ready to receive it. You haven't matured. You're not spiritually mature. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife. There it is. You're carnal because there's envying and strife among you. So whenever the church has got strife in it, whenever there's envy in the church, it's weakened.
The church is weakened whenever envy and strife are playing out in the church. Well, I want to be like so-and-so, and why can't I have... God gives gifts and callings as he wills. Every one of us have a gift and a calling in our lives. Whether we walk in them is a matter for the individual. But we've all got gifts and callings, and if you ask the Lord to show you what's yours, he'll show you. That's if you're willing to walk it out. Because it's all designed to build the kingdom of God through the local church, primarily. That's what the gifts are for. And of course, he says that. He says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, so there's no agreement, are you not carnal and walk as men? So Paul's warning them about the dangers of strife. Remember, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now go back to Proverbs 6:19. There's no escaping the clarity around the power of love in the Bible. This, you know, love is such a precise thing. And we're going to have a look next week at some of the characteristics of love and how we work love in this earth. But again, I want to have a look at Proverbs chapter 6 and reading from verse 16. Have a look at this. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are abomination to him. So look at the list here. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brothers. God hates that. So, why? Because God is love. Of course he'd hate that. Why would he want his church to be sowing discord or disagreement or disunity among each other? Because it weakens the church. It weakens the church's ability to be a light in this dark world. So, yes, that would be repulsive to God. Because it's the opposite to love. God is love. God is agape. He's love. The God love. So, you know, when there's strife and division or discord among brothers, that's the complete opposite to what God is and what the church should represent, because we represent him. Do we not? Jesus is the head, we're the body. We represent Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. And of course, we don't need to turn there, but Psalm 133, you can make a note of it. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. See, where there's unity, when there's unity in the church, or when there's unity in your home, or unity in your workplace, God can command a blessing over that unity. Because that's flowing with the God kind of love. Because the God kind of love will always produce unity among people. And hatred will always stir up strife and division. So, things that we need to be aware of. So discord and disharmony, for a better word, are blessing blockers. They're blessing blockers. If you want the blessing of God in your life to be stymied and not to flow, get into strife. If you want the blessing in your home to be ineffective and not functioning, not in operation, get into strife. And don't deal with it quickly. Because strife is a blessing blocker. Love is so critical to this walk. And if we understood fully the characteristics of love, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks, then we would realize how narrow this path is. This is a very, very narrow walk, this love walk. Very narrow. And it's important that it is narrow, because the moment you come out of it, you're now open. You're open to things that you don't want. You're open to the scams, and I'll use that word scams, of the devil. When you come out of that, you know, love's like a virus protection. When it's operating and it's flowing in your life, nothing trashy can get in. But when you come out of that love walk, you can be open to viruses, spiritually speaking. And you don't want that. It's interesting, isn't it? Perfect love casts out fear, does it not? Perfected love, mature love, casts out fear, which we'll look at in the weeks ahead as well. So there's a number of things about love that we want to fully appreciate and understand. Now go to Proverbs 17. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. It says, he that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. So, you know, that he that seeks love, well, he that seeks love, you know, covers. If we're seeking love, there's a cover. He that covers a transgression is seeking love. So that word seek means to search out or to strive after. So he that covers a transgression, he seeks love. So, or if you're seeking love, you're covering at the same time. But he that repeats a matter separates very friends. That word separates, it's an interesting word. It has a couple of meanings, but one is to fold or to duplicate. To fold or to duplicate. So think of it again, but he that repeats a matter is duplicating. Think about that. Did you hear about so-and-so? Why do we do that? Why do we like to tell people about someone else's failings? Because what you're doing is you're duplicating. We're repeating. God doesn't want that. That's not the love way. Because the love way covers. And this is what we're going to really look at. Because I truly believe this church, for us to move into the next stage of what I believe God has for this church, this has to be a really, really, really strong part of our walk. We've got to understand this journey of faith and love. We teach a lot about faith here. And it's an important thing that we do. And we preach it and we preach about the grace of God. But this series about love is important because it's going to prepare us for the next stage of the journey with what I believe God has for us so that we can mature and not be moved by people, but be moved by the Spirit of God and trust God at His word. So share this again. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. We don't want to fold and duplicate things that are not good for someone else. And of course, that word hate also means an enemy or a foe. When you hate something, you know, it's now an enemy to you. So God hates certain things. So when we get out of the love walk, if we sow discord among brethren, disagreement and disharmony among brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it happens all through churches, all over the world, shouldn't happen. And I'm not saying that because, you know, we're perfectly clean. I'm saying it shouldn't happen in any church. And we want to guard that in this church so that we don't do that. We don't go around talking about certain individuals or ministries. They're for God. God will deal with those things. We want to be pure in what we do because that becomes an enemy or a foe to God. And we don't want to be his enemy because we're his sons and daughters. Amen? Amen? He loves us. We're not his enemy. We're his beloved. So let's take that a bit further. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 12 through to 15. Hallelujah. From the NIV. Sorry, the NLT, my apologies. Colossians 3, verse 12.
Since God chose you to be the holy people he loved, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Isn't that wise words from God? What a love this is. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. Wow. And of course, the King James, it says this in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness. So love is the bond which is to join together, and the word perfectness is completeness. So love's what joins us completely. The bond of perfectness. That's the power of love. And he says, above all those things, do that. So, you know, think about that list there. And these are, you know, pretty strong words in this list. It says being tender-hearted, being merciful, being kind, having humility, having gentleness and patience, having all those things in operation, which are the fruit of the Spirit, our spirit, fruit of the Spirit. But he says, above all that, put on love. And of course, it's interesting in Galatians that the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Is it not? It gives a 9 fruit of the Spirit. The first one is love. You can't have the other 8 without love. All the other fruit of the Spirit derive from the first fruit, which is love. Now, why is that? Because your spirit has to produce the same as God's. It's not possible for us to live a life without love. Well, no, that's not right. It is possible. But that's not God's best. It is possible to do that, but it goes against everything that's in our spirit. For us to, you know, try and walk this walk but have a disregard for people, have a disdain for people, you know, have an impatience for others, not being willing to forgive or to release things, not being willing to cover somebody's mistakes that they've made and to move on and to love them no matter what. That's the condition that love produces in us. And it's a powerful thing. Now understand this. We're talking about the God kind of love, agape. The world can't live this love. It's not possible. It's impossible for the world to live the love that we're talking about here. This is a God kind of love which has been placed in our hearts. So if Jesus is our Lord, then we've got the love of God residing in us. We've got the Spirit of God in us, which means we have the love of God in us. So we can love like this. We can. It's a choice not to. But it's great wisdom to walk in love. Because when we walk in love, we are now, as I said, being witnesses for the kingdom of God above all else. The love of God. You know, how often have people been won to the Lord without words? Without words. What they were observing was a lifestyle. They were observing behavior. They were observing gentleness and kindness and you know, meekness and humility and tenderheartedness. They were looking at forgiveness. And they hadn't heard a word of the gospel. But they saw Christ through love. And that's a powerful thing. And people do come to faith that way because they just see something in your life and they think, what is it? Whatever it is you've got, I need. And they want to know more about your God. And then you have a great opportunity to share God's love. Love's a powerful thing. But it requires daily observance. Because every day there's opportunities for our love to be tested and shaken. True? Every day. We got the opportunity for it to be tested and shaken. And of course, we don't want that. Have a look at Ephesians. Just go back a couple of books, Ephesians chapter 4. And again, I'm just going to read this from the New Living Translation as well. The Word of God has so much to say about this. And it's wonderful because it helps us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, New Living Translation. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Glorious hope for the future. Sorry, binding yourselves with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future. So again, Paul writing the church in Ephesus, and he's saying the same thing. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Patient. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So the reason why we make the allowance is because of the love we have. Imagine if everyone in the church is making allowance for one another. Wow. You'd have a very, very powerful church because everyone's making allowances for all our faults and failings, you know, because of love. That's the love of God. And it changes everything. People want to be in fellowship. You know, it grieves my heart to think that there'd be so many people today that are out of church because they felt wounded in church. How sad that is. No one intends to hurt anyone. You know, this word will stir your heart, to stir my heart, but it's not designed to harm. It's designed to help and to build us up and to mature us in the faith. But sometimes, you know, if love's not in operation in the church, it doesn't matter how much word's been preached. If the love of God's not there, it's not going to draw people. People need to feel safe and valued and loved in the house of God, just like they feel safe and valued and loved in their own homes. If they don't feel that, what often happens in a home situation? People separate. One leaves. That's the sad reality of it. And that's replicated sometimes in the body of Christ, which is not God's best for the church. God wants his church to be a powerfully unified church. Amen? So, let's now go to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 7 down through to verse 21. And this is where the rubber meets the road, people, this particular chapter and what we're about to read, because it tells us exactly who and what God is. So there's no confusion for us in respect to who God is. Have a look at this. Verse 7, beloved, 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone that loves, now this is agape, not phileo. Everyone that loves knows God, amen, and is born of God. Born of God, knows God. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. So there's your description of love right there. God is love. That's why love covers. He's the great coverer of sin. Now we can mimic that by not holding offense or not holding a suffered wrong. And we'll look at all that in the coming weeks. But the word tells us God is love. So we need to unpack this, because what does that mean for us? If God is love, how do we respond to that? Now look at verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means the atonement or the covering for our sins. So God sent his son to be the covering, the atonement for sin. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Do you reckon that's pretty fair? If God loved us, do you reckon it's reasonable that we should love one another? Then why is that so hard? I'm talking for me here too. Why is that so challenging? Because it is at times. Let's be honest here. Loving sometimes is very challenging for us. Because we all want to have our bit and have our say and you know, give people a piece of our mind. But they don't need a piece of our mind. They need a mind of Christ. They don't need our mind. They need his mind. But we want to give people a piece of our mind, you know. Or it's a bit like when someone says, you know, let me tell you about so-and-so. The better thing is don't tell it. Let me tell you about this and let me tell you about that. But the God kind of love doesn't operate that way. So this is important for all of us. And I'll say it again. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us, or it's made complete in us. So if we love one another, if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. This is the word of God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Did you just read that? As he is, so are we. Now, as he is, so are we. Are we redeemed? We're redeemed. Are we without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? Yes. Are we seated in heavenly places in Christ? Has all power and authority been given to the church? Yes. As he is, so are we. But for us to operate in that degree of spiritual authority, we've got to love. We've got to walk in love. And we can't allow that to be compromised for a moment. Not for 1 minute. We don't give place to the devil, not for a minute. And the moment we come out of love, you're giving access to the enemy. You're giving him the keys to your spiritual home. Or you're giving him the access key or the access code to your secret place. You don't want that. We don't want the enemy to be getting in and causing problems in our lives. And look at, of course, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that fears not is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Wow. We love him because he first loved us. And if any man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Well, that's pretty fair, isn't it? If we love God, we're going to love the brethren. But he says, if you don't love your brother, you know, if you don't, you say you love God, but if you don't love your brother, then you're not being honest. We've got to love, no matter what the situation is. And that's not conditional to how people treat us. Love's not conditional. Well, you know, as long as they do the right thing by me. Many people won't do the right thing by you. But our response is do the right thing by them.
Now, that right thing is, don't hold offense, don't hold resentment, don't get into strife, don't get into anger, cast your care to God and give him that issue, and God will deal with it. Now, you've heard me say this often, it's important. You don't always have to be in the presence of somebody that's difficult to be around and be with, but we still have to love them. We don't need to be in their presence. There are sometimes you can't avoid that. But, you know, if that's a difficult situation for you, then it might do well for you not to be in their presence. Love at a distance. But keep the love walk, because when you do that, you stay under that protective covering of God. And we're going to look at more of that in the weeks ahead as well. And, of course, look at Romans 5. And we're almost done. Romans 5 and verse 8. Look what it says here. Actually, I'm going to read from, where are we? I'm going to read from verse 4. Actually, no, we're going to go further back. Let's read from verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace. We have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. We have that agape love. That's the love we have in us. So God wouldn't be asking us to do anything that's not possible to do. He wants us to love with his love, because he says, I've given you my love, now use it. Now, if we use that love correctly and biblically, you will stand in victory all the days of your life. You'll never be defeated by the devil if you walk this love walk. Now, that means putting the flesh down. That's where we've got to grow. We've got to tighten that area of our life and say, no, the spirit is going to dominate and rule this flesh body that wants to unleash. Because when you get a hold of this truth and you allow that love to be the master over you, you're the master over everything. No devil in hell can penetrate when love's in operation. Remember, there's no law against love. No law against the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For when we were yet sinners, so when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember, it said, God loved us before we loved him. So I know we often say, you know, how much we love God, but the real test is how much God loves us. It's God's love for us first. He loved us when we were his enemy. When we were separated, he still loved us. That's the agape love. That's that unconditional love of God for humanity. It's the pure love of God. And that's the one he wants us to operate in. He wants us to demonstrate that same kind of love. Very, very powerful. See, love will redeem a wasted life and transform it into beauty and usefulness. Love will redeem that. A wasted life, he can turn around. Love is God invading the realm of the human being. Love is God invading the realm of humanity. That's what love is. When we step out of love, we step out of the will of the Father. Whenever we act outside of love, we act contrary to the will of God. So we don't want to do that. Whenever we step out of that love covering, we're acting contrary to the will of the Father. It's not possible to do the will of the Father without love being the motivator and the driver behind it. It's not possible. It's not possible to do ministry if love's not the motivation and the driver behind it. It's not possible. To preach the gospel, love has to be the reason why we do it. Love of God and love for his people. So
I'm going to stop it there this morning. Next week, we're going to have a look at the characteristics of love. You know, what does love look like? And we're going to look at examples in the coming weeks as well of this sort of love in action. But the Bible is filled with expressions of love. Well, of course it is. Because this Bible is about a loving God who so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes on him would not perish and have everlasting life. That's the love that we're talking about this morning. Why? Because God is love. Let's pray.